Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast, here today with my special guest, Josh Young, coordinator of musical theater at Missouri State University. Thanks so much for joining us today, Josh.
Thanks for having me.
So we always like to get to know the person before the program, so if you could tell me a little bit more about you and your career and history that led you up to your time at Missouri State University.
Happy to. So I graduated from Syracuse University with my BFA in musical theater. I was lucky enough right after I graduated to land like my dream gig. I was playing Marius in Les Miserables. It had just closed on Broadway for the first time since 85. And they took the Broadway cast, put it on the road, but they didn't have, I guess they lost their guy playing Marius. And I was lucky enough to go in for an audition. I landed the role, and I was on cloud nine. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I did that for a few years. After that, I went on tour with the international 50th anniversary production of West Side Story. I was playing Tony in that for a few years, which was also awesome. After that, I came back and workshopped a bunch of shows. I workshopped the Sea Rock City, which I know a lot of colleges are doing now. I was part of that workshop process. I workshopped Amazing Grace, which was the last show I did on Broadway. That was, I think that was 2008. And after that, I had probably my favorite theatrical adventure, which was being able to be part of the Stratford Shakespeare Festival Company, which is in Stratford, Ontario. I was one of the very few Americans to ever have that opportunity. And while I was doing that, I was playing Che and Evita there, and I was also in The Grapes of Wrath. And while I was doing that, it was being artistically directed by Des McAnuff, who's the original director of Tommy, Jersey Boys. He's actually also the director for the new revival that's coming out. He was the artistic director of Stratford, and I knew that I wanted to do something with him someday. So I said, I'm going to do my very best in these shows so that I could, you know, make a favorable impression upon him. And whatever he's doing next, I wanted to be a part of. And while I was part of that season, he announced that he was going to be directing Jesus Christ Superstar at the Stratford Shakespeare Festival. And I said, well, I definitely want to be a part of that. And I was thinking, well, you know, Che is not unlike Judas. Hopefully he'll see me as possibly being able to play that role. And that's exactly what happened. He asked me if I played Judas in that production. So I played Judas at Stratford. And while we were at Stratford doing one of our opening week, we heard applause during the while people were still sitting down in the audience, and we thought it was Justin Bieber, because Justin Bieber, he's a local to Stratford, Ontario. So we were like, okay, so cool, Justin Bieber's coming to see our show. After the show, Tim Rice he walks backstage, and we couldn't believe it. We were all meeting Tim Rice. We had no idea he was coming. He's the he wrote the book and the lyrics for Jesus Christ Superstar, and that was, you know, that was awesome. A couple weeks later, the same thing happened. We heard applause while people were sitting back down after intermission. And again, we thought maybe Bieber was there or Tim Rice came again, but it was Andrew Lloyd Webber who came to see us backstage after that. And then one thing led to another. The production transferred to La Jolla Playhouse, and then it transferred to Broadway. I had my Broadway debut, and it was a pretty amazing experience. I was nominated for a Tony Award for that, for playing Judas in that. And then I went off with on another Webber show. I took over for Ricky Martin for the Tony nominated tour of the Broadway production of Evita, and that was pretty cool. After that, I did a few other shows. I did Amazing Grace, came to Broadway after I had been workshopping it for about 8 years, And then my wife and I decided we wanted to have kids and be able to put them to sleep at night, which is not something that is so easy to do if you're doing shows on Broadway. My wife is also a Broadway actor. Her name's Emily Padgett. She was original company of Bright Star, and she was Daisy and Sideshow Revival, a bunch of other things. So we really wanted to be able to have a regular family life in a suburb. I got my master's in higher education leadership at Oakland University, and now here I am running the program for musical theater at Missouri State University.
That's amazing. Wow, what a career, what a story. That's awesome. You are relatively new to this position, is that correct?
Yes, I am. This is my first year. I took over for Robert Westenberg, one of my Broadway idols. For those of you who don't know, he was the original, I believe, Cinderella's Prince and the Wolf in Into the Woods. And he was in the original company of Sunday in the Park with George and Secret Garden. And I had always looked up to him. And when I was recruiting from my previous institution, I would always see him recruiting from Missouri State. And we would chat, and I would eventually ask him to have lunch. And we became friends, and whenever he was talking about the program that he led at Missouri State, I was always envious of the things that he had brought to the department. So I was always thinking, man, I wish I had that where I am. I wish I had that. I could achieve all my dreams for the department if I had what you have. By the way, that is to have all of my seniors graduating into employment. That's my goal. When I found out that he was leaving, I said, "What do I have to do to get your job?" And that's basically what happened. He told me what I needed to do, and I went through the process, and now I have all those amazing initiatives and mandates. And they just put up an incredible new outdoor Summerstock amphitheater donated by John Goodman. I'm thrilled that I was able to take that over just this year.
Wow. So I usually put our guests on the spot now and say, tell us you to give us your elevator pitch. Give us 60 seconds or less. Why musical theater at Missouri State?
Okay, all right. So one thing that I have looked at other programs and I've just thought was missing was, well, first let's talk about other industries. Business, internet technology, those are industries where the programs, the institutions, the colleges, the universities, they usually have entire programs within them devoted to making sure that their graduates have placement in the industry, have jobs to go to, right? And those industries have like 90 to 100% employment rate. So why do musical theater programs not have something similar when the employment rate's more like 10% or less, right? So everything that I do, every course I design, whenever I'm looking at the 4-year program, when we're talking about hiring new faculty, when it comes to voice teachers and dance, everything is looking at my objective, which is students graduate and they are employed. They're not just employable, which I think a lot of schools, that's their aim, is that their students have the tools to be employable. My aim is that my students are employed. So everything that I do is about that. Creating new initiatives, like a 29-hour reading initiative. I talked a little, like 5 minutes ago, about how one of my first gigs was workshopping Amazing Grace. Well, it was a reading. It was a 29-hour reading, right? A 29-hour reading, for anyone who's listening who don't know, that's what the Actors Equity, it's what they allow Actors Equity members to be used in the reading with scripts in hand of a new show. But they can only be used for 29 hours during that week. So 2007 or 8, I did my first reading of Amazing Grace. And then in 2009, there was another 29-hour reading. And then there was, I think, maybe even another 29-hour reading. And then two workshops and then two out-of-town tryouts. The reason why I'm bringing the 29-hour reading into the program as something to teach on a yearly basis, bringing in writers from New York, is because as I was doing the reading and workshop process for that show, Amazing Grace, I saw other actors come and go, right? From reading to reading, from workshop to workshop to. I saw other readers, other actors being replaced. So how do you ingratiate yourself to the artistic team so that you stay along for that long ride? So that maybe your Broadway debut is not something that you had to go through the audition process. You workshop that show for several years, right? So that's one of the ways that I try to make sure that my students are employed right away. So another a byproduct of that is bringing those writers to the school. This year we're doing a full production, actually, of a show that Kate Carrigan and Nathan Tyson wrote called The Killer Party. It some of you might recognize the title because during COVID, it was a web series. Well, we're turning it into a fully staged production, and those guys are coming here. Now, maybe a few years down the line, after this has been workshopped more, they might be in need of one of the roles, and they think back to the person who played it while they were working on it at Missouri State, and there's just another way that you've already been cast, right? We have three showcases. Again, just to make sure that we have all the avenues leading toward that employment idea. Of course, you need incredible teachers, and you need a great education. You need to be a great actor, singer, dancer as well. But if you're not focusing that attention toward having a job that will pay the bills, well, then you're just singing, dancing, and acting in your bedroom, and that's not doing anybody any good except for yourself.
So at Missouri State, what is or what are the degrees that are offered for musical theater?
BFA. It's a BFA in musical theater. That's the only one. We don't have a master's yet, but it's a Bachelor of Fine Arts.
Beautiful. So BFA musical theater. And now let's imagine that I am a freshman BFA musical theater student on my way to Missouri for my first year there. Can you tell me a little bit about what that first year looks like for me?
Sure. I know a lot of people are going to be wondering, can you perform your first year? Do you get to be in shows, right?
It's always the first question.
Right. Well, yes, you can. But I'm going to go ahead and say, and this is obviously, this doesn't help me out to say, because you can perform your freshman year. But looking back on my own college career, I would say don't make that one of your first considerations. Spend time perfecting your craft your freshman year. If I could go back in time, I would not have done a show freshman year. I would have taken that extra time where I could have been rehearsing for that show and spent it in a practice room or renting out a larger space where I can have, where I can, you know, fall flat on my face and make choices, take risks, spend time on my craft my freshman year. So again, you can perform second semester your freshman year at Missouri State, but I wouldn't make that your number one factor in deciding on your program. So yes, your freshman year, you can perform your second semester, you can be in any of the productions. You're taking voice lessons your first year through your fourth year. Our voice teachers are all CCM trained. That means commercial contemporary music. So if you look at Broadway right now, again, this is along that same line of thinking, being employed, not just employable. If you look on Broadway right now, there's not a single show where having a solely classical foundation is going to help you be cast, right? There's not a single one. Phantom's gone, Les Mis is gone. Again, those are the type of shows that I train to be a part of. I have a very classical background, but I also spent my summers of college spending extra money to find the teachers that could teach me to sing rock and pop, which thank goodness I did that, because my Broadway debut again was Jesus Christ Superstar. Uh-huh. But you're not gonna have to do that at Missouri State. You're gonna have teachers who are experts in singing rock, pop, rap, the things that will get you jobs. Same thing with dance. When we look at what's going to be taught each year, the focus is going to be on what's going to get you work. And that's going to be hip hop, contemporary, jazz, not so much ballet right now. And you'll of course have a ballet foundation, a classical ballet foundation, and there'll be tap. But if we spend half of your dance curriculum on tap, we'll be doing you a disservice looking at what is on Broadway currently and what's on the road currently. Of course, you need some of that, of course, and we are always happy to have people who come in with a strong tap background. And, you know, these things change. They're fluid. We watch the trends, and we will change the curriculum based on that. But freshman year, you will definitely get that core ballet foundation, so that everybody has the same vocabulary. You have your script analysis. You have your character analysis classes. We mostly focus on song, bringing down a song and song analysis your sophomore year and beyond. Every year past that is fairly heavily focused on putting across a song and making it as persuasive as possible in your storytelling and that. Yeah, the great thing is, along with that foundational training, we have a very typical university setting where there's homecoming last week and tailgating and big football games, and we really feel like a conservatory program set in this big college university feel.
So, what is the balance between academics and artistic classes there? How important are academics when you're there?
So I think in any school, it's great to be a well-rounded person. If you are trapped in musical theater and it's all you know and it's all you talk about, you're not going to be a well-rounded actor because that's the well you're going to have to draw from. Everything's going to be viewed through the lens of musical theater. You have to have a regular life. When it comes to actual credits in each thing, obviously, whatever your degree is in, you're gonna have more classes in it. You do have to obviously take credits on the hill, as we would say. But it's gonna be fewer than your what your degree is in.
And is there the opportunity for students who are BFA musical theater to either double major or minor in something else?
Yes, a lot of people minor in dance. There are double majors as well. I can just say for me that I could have never done that because of how kind of laser focused I am on what I want to do. It totally depends on the person, I think. If you're somebody who can handle that, more power to you, right? But again, my goal is for my students to be employed. And if my students are double majoring in something that's taking their focus away from what I know they need in order to be a success, it's going to be tougher for me to achieve my objective, right? So unless I know that my student is somebody who can handle a double major or a minor, I'm not going to push them towards that. If that's something they come here wanting to do and they can handle it, great. But as we all know, this is a very competitive industry. And if you and no matter how hard you're working, somebody else is out there working harder. So I'm gonna push my students to really work in what they have chosen as their field.
And you mentioned we did talk about performing your freshman year, but can you tell us what the performance opportunities are throughout their 4 years there?
So every year there's two main stage musicals and there's two main stage plays. In addition to that, we have readings like I discussed. There are student-run productions. There's an improv troupe. In addition to that, like I think I might have mentioned, we have the John Goodman Tent Theater. It's in our amphitheater, donated by the actor John Goodman, who's an alum. And our students all get to audition for that summer stock season. It's an equity summer stock theater. What that means for our students is if they're in one of our summer shows, if it's the right choice for them, they can join the Actors Union, they can join Actors Equity upon graduation. Again, that's not the right choice for everybody. It was for me, it is for other people. But that's huge to know that you can graduate and already have that opportunity. That opportunity is due to Actors Equity's change in how you join. There's a thing called Open Access right now. I think we're one of like five other programs who can boast something like that. Did that answer your question? I forget what the question was.
Just the performance opportunities. I was going to
Oh,
actually
yeah.
ask you
Right,
to
right, right.
expand a little bit more on the student-run productions, because there's a lot of students that, as you know, are interested in trying their hand at directing and choreography and things during their 4 years. So can you speak a little bit more about the student-run organizations and how those work?
Well, our improv troupe is completely student-run. If a student is taking directing and they have a faculty advisor and they want to direct something, all they have to do is write up that proposal and have a faculty sponsor. And I can't see a world in which we don't support something like that. I come from a place, and I'll be introducing in the next few years a cabaret writing class because that was one thing throughout my career that I found very helpful in terms of. You know, even if I'm doing a Broadway show after Broadway show, there's going to be months where between possibly that you're not working. And being able to write your own shows and knowing how to produce them, how to approach venues and say, "Hey, I've got this show. can we put it on? And here's how much I charge for it. And making money that way so you don't have to wait tables is something that I think is extremely important. And the same thing goes for student-produced work of any kind. If they're a director, if you're a music director, being able to wear different hats in the industry is really, really important. And we would definitely support that.
What types of you mentioned the John Goodman Theater. What other performance venues like at Missouri State?
Sure. So we have a 500 seat proscenium theater. It's a beautiful proscenium theater, and then we have a 150 seat black box. We just Missouri State just gave our department and our school the largest, well, not Missouri State, an outside benefactor just gave us the largest one-time gift. It's in Missouri State history. It's an eight-figure gift. That's all we know right now. And we're building a new facility next year, and it's going to have a brand new theater. And by the way, the current facilities we have are, I'm very happy with. So when I found this out, this was a bit of a surprise about, I think it was like 2 months ago. You know, this is just kind of icing on the cake. So we'll have a new theater in addition to the facilities that we currently have, and new classroom spaces in this new building, which will be 20 feet from our current facility.
Beautiful. And you've throughout our other questions, you mentioned a little bit about the campus itself there. Talk to us a little bit more about the environment, the atmosphere. Students always like to know from these podcasts, you know, is this a classic college campus with a football stadium and Greek life and all of that,
yes,
or an urban campus or somewhere in between?
The campus itself is that classic. You know, I went to Syracuse, which is, you know, tailgating, football games, Greek life. And that's very much what it is here. It's on a little bit of a smaller scale. And I wouldn't say it's a city or a small town. It's kind of in between where it lies. It is a beautiful area of the country. We're in the Ozarks. There's tons of stuff to do all the time, not only on campus, but outside in terms of street fairs. And we have one of the best amusement parks about 20 minutes away called Silver Dollar City, which is like the Disney of the Ozarks. We have what I think, well, actually it's not just what I think, it's rated the best aquarium in the world in Springfield, Missouri. And it's just a really beautiful part of the country with beautiful lakes and outdoor stuff to do as well. And the campus itself, it's, you know, we got the quad, we got the Greek life and all that fun stuff. Then you head over to our building and you feel like, you know, you feel a really nice, friendly, homey kind of atmosphere that I know a lot of people look for and that I look for, because I feel like in order to have the most growth as a student, especially in this industry, you need that kind of comfortable, supportive atmosphere, which we definitely cultivate.
Uh-huh. And, you know, at some schools, the BFA musical theater students are so, so busy that there isn't a lot of time for them to participate in other outside student organizations and things. Do you find that your students are able to be active members of the university community, or are they basically living in the theater building?
That's a good question. Because of the amount of time that I've been here, I think if I tried to tell you that, I'd be making it up as I went along. I don't want to do that.
Honest answer, I'll take that.
But I couldn't tell you for sure. What I can tell you is the students that I work with in class each day are very well adjusted and they present themselves as happy. And when I hear them talking about what they're doing on the weekends, it sounds exciting and all things that I would want to be a part of.
So as the students progress through their 4 years, you know, eventually they're going to be making the transition from collegiate theater to professional theater. And you mentioned the opportunity, if possible, for a student to join Actors Equity. But what else does the university do, or do you plan on doing to assist students with the transition into the professional world?
Well, this is what I think being here, and my wife, by the way, she's also on faculty here. This is what I think we pride ourselves in, and that's the business. of the theater and making sure, again, I want my students to be employed, not just employable when they graduate. So yeah, we have three showcases. One of them is a showcase in LA, because we all know how important it is to be versatile. By the way, we have a film certificate program for students who are interested in that. And that certificate, as opposed to a minor, is something that I would definitely push on students, because, you know, you could do one day on set and it'll pay more than possibly a year in the theater, depending on what that is. And it's good for your, I don't like the word brand, but it's good for your business to do a TV show, to be on Law and Order or whatever, something else that's filming in New York. So we have that, and then you bring those skills to LA for our LA showcase. We also have two showcases that happen the same week in New York City. This is new that I brought here this year. So one is where we pay the five top casting directors in New York City to watch our showcase, and then each student has a one-on-one meeting with each one of the casting directors on that same day, so that each one of those top casting directors gets to know them on a personal level. That being said, we have those same casting directors come and give master classes. We just had Mary Sugarman of Tara Rubin Casting here last week, and we'll have Rachel Hoffman of Telsey & Co. next week. And what I was saying about having myself and Emily here is that I almost used the word Rolodex. I should say our contact list in our cell phones, because of having just left the industry and who we have maintained good relationships with, we're able to bring these people in. Anyone who needs to see you will see you, and if you take the initiative and sign up for the master classes during your 4 years, casting directors will know you by name when you graduate. Where was I? Oh yeah. So you have the round robin, the showcase with the five casting directors, who hopefully by that time, if you've taken me up on all of our opportunities during the year, they'll all already know you. In addition to that, we do the typical big showcase where we invite every agent, manager, and casting director in the city, and we do two of those in one day. So those three things are just extra. You know, I didn't get my agent through Syracuse University Showcase. I did it just fine for myself, and I did not even get a single meeting with an agent from my showcase. Again, I had a Broadway career. So any students who are listening to this and you don't get something from your showcase, I didn't, and I was nominated for a Tony Award. Don't feel too bad. That being said, we have done very well, or I should say I have in my previous institution with my showcase. Last year, all of my students who showcased ended up with agents, and two of them are now actually coming through Springfield on the Jesus Christ Superstar Tour, which is really fun for me to get to see them. Yeah. So those are the direct things for job placement, but like I said, there's other things that we do during the year, like those like readings with people in the industry. We'll be mandating summer stock work, so every student has to do summer stock work, and that helps in terms of making those connections. I do all of the pre-screens for all of the summer stock work for all of the unified auditions for my students. There's a sign up we have a musical theater hub that students can go and sign up to do pre-screen recordings with me. And we don't just say you have to go do summer stock, we help you book that summer stock work. Utilizing, you know, SETC's, New England Theater Conference, Straw Hats, A1 Conference. But again, everything I do is toward that idea of being employed when you graduate. Mm-hmm.
And you started right at the end of the school year last year. Were you part of the showcase at the end of last year, or
is this your first? I actually didn't start here until the beginning of the, I mean, I was technically hired here during the summer, but my tenure here didn't start until August.
Amazing. So you're already bringing some new exciting things to the school. That's awesome. So tell us, we're just starting the new audition cycle. So tell us, what are the requirements to apply an audition for the BFA Musical Theater Program?
Yes. So you have to set up a account on Get Accepted. We are no fee school, so you don't have to pay for that. We will pay for that. You don't have to pay for your application to the university. If you go to app.getaccepted.com/MSU, again, that's app.getaccepted.com/MSU. I don't know how we got /MSU instead of Michigan State, but we did. Everything that you need to know is right there. We do utilize the Common Pre-Screen, and I'm sure all your listeners know what that entails. We're at the Pittsburgh Unified auditions. We'll be at the Moonifieds, the CAP auditions, and the Chicago Unified. So we'd be happy to see anybody live there.
Great. And your live audition requirements are the same as the Common Pre-Screen requirements?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When students apply to the university academically, how does the acceptances work academically versus artistically? Do you have to be accepted to the university academically first and then artistically, or vice versa?
One doesn't have to come before the other. I would suggest everybody who's listening, if you're at all interested, go ahead and, because it's free, go ahead and do the university application. We try to continue to accept people throughout the year, but due to the amount of applicants, if we are full up on people earlier on, it's harder. We start accepting fewer and fewer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I would suggest that people start getting on that right away. But as soon as you can be accepted first into the BFA and then do the application as well.
So how many live audition spots are there? How many live auditions do you see from the pre-screen?
We see about 800, I believe. And this year we ended up with about 16 students. That probably means, again, I worked at a different institution last year, but I'm going to go ahead and say that probably means we admit about 50 and end up with 16 of those 800.
And is 16 that's your target, or...
We don't really, between 16 and 20, that's our target. We don't want more than that.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be a little different this year. It's because it's my first year here. I knew how many students we had to admit to get to that sweet spot at my last institution. Now we have to take other factors into consideration now that I'm at this institution and all the great things that it brought before I got there. And it's going to be a little of a balancing act to make sure that we get the right amount, what that means for all of you people listening is if you don't hear something right away, that does not mean that we are not super interested in you. We're just making sure that we don't go over the number that we are setting for ourselves, because we do like having a small student to teacher ratio.
So when students are submitting pre-screens, and we're recording this on October 30th, so hopefully all of my students have submitted their pre-screens by now, what is the thing that's catching your eye? What are you looking for in a student that you're going to pass through during this process?
Making choices. We use the Common Pre-Screen. We don't use it as a pre-screen. We use it as an audition sometimes, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to these unified auditions. Let me answer that question, but let me talk about what we look for when we're seeing somebody live, and what we look for when we're calling them back. So making choices, but then when I give an adjustment, taking the adjustment. And what I would say is go, if I give an adjustment, or if anybody gives an adjustment, err on the side of going too far with taking that adjustment, as opposed to not going far enough. And that goes for a director as well. If you get an adjustment from a director and you don't take it the first time, and they have to try to reword it and give it to you again and again and again, try to push you toward that adjustment, it's going to make us think this is going to be going to be like for 4 years. You know. Whereas if you go too far with that adjustment, we're always happy to pull you back. I am thrilled if somebody takes an adjustment too well. So I look for that a lot, because I look for students that I can work with, right? So that's huge for me. I look for students that are ambitious, because like I was just saying before, I will give you so many opportunities to make connections in the industry. And if you're not signing up for a masterclass with Rachel Hoffman, don't you know that this is what you want to do with your life? You know, Telsey Cass, you know, the biggest shows in New York City. You should, if this is not something that you're wanting to take advantage of, it's going to make it more difficult for me to achieve my goal again of making sure that you have a job when you graduate. So ambition as well. And then of course we want students who sing their face off, you know, and who are great actors and dancers. But first, that is kind of the order that I look for things in that I just told you.
What is your, and this question just came to me this morning from a student, so I'm going to ask you because it's fresh in my mind. What do you recommend students do when they're choosing material for their college auditions?
That's a great question. Don't try to stretch yourself to something that is foreign to you. Find something that represents who you are as an individual, because, and this goes for, I think this goes for any type of unified audition, whether it be for colleges or for summer stock theater. Keep in mind that this is a first meeting, right? So if you are doing some crazy angry thing that is written for a 60-year-old man, it might be a little alienating because we just want to get to know you at this point in time. If I want to see you do it as a 60-year-old angry man, I might give you that adjustment in the room. But bring yourself to your audition in the best way that you can. And the best way that you can is probably finding characters that are close to your own age and how you identify. We are artistic, creative people, but sometimes the imagination of the people behind the desk are not what you want them to be. So be personable. Find a monologue that's more ingratiating rather than alienating, because even though we know you're an actor and you're just acting, it's a first impression. And whether you like it or not, being charming, having a charming monologue is going to charm me more than an angry one. And even though I'm looking for a great actor, those are just the facts. That's the way we as human beings, that's how we work. Uh-huh. So I would, and if you can make me laugh, do that. If you can make us laugh, you'll be remembered.
That's great advice. And you just mentioned monologues, and monologues tend to be the bane of these auditioners' existence because, as you said, we're looking for people who can sing their face off. The singing part tends to come a lot easier to musical theater kids than the monologue part. So what is the easiest way that you think students can find monologues that work for them?
I wouldn't use a monologue book unless you also read the play, because if your answer when we ask what something's from or what the story's about in the room is, I don't know, I just read it in a monologue book, that's not good. If you do find something in a monologue book, you need to know everything about the character and do your work. But reading plays, asking older actors, you know, for advice, having a coach who can give you material and then you read it. By the way, back to what you said about singing comes easier, possibly true. But don't think that for singers that means you need to be reaching the top limits of your voice or that's not a good audition. Do not stretch yourself to where it's uncomfortable and we can feel your discomfort. It would be much better if once in a while you have a high C, but you're comfortable with a G, fine. We could tell if you're a good singer from that. And we might vocalize you afterwards to see if you have that C or B.
Yeah, great advice. All right, so as we start to wrap up the episode today, I always ask my guests to tell us something that you are most looking forward to in the upcoming year at your university.
Sure. I actually forgot one thing I wanted to mention that's a highlight of our program.
Oh, sure.
I can't believe I didn't say it. Our tuition is $9,023 a year. And what that means is that even if the parents who are listening to this, if you can afford the $60,000 a year universities, first of all, I'll say that what we offer here is, I think, second to almost none for $9,023, especially after my predecessor left and I've added things that I've added to this program. What $9,023 means is that if you can put away the difference in money, which is $50,000, and then so after 4 years, you've got an extra $200,000. Imagine what that could do for your kid to live on in New York City. It's a no-brainer, if you ask me, and it's one of those things that I said when Robert Westenberg, my predecessor, was talking to me about what they had to offer. I was like, man, I wish I had that, because now I can sleep at night, and that's a very nice thing, knowing that my students can graduate being, for the most part, debt-free, if not having exactly what I just said. I know a couple parents did that for their kids. And that's only if you need it, because again, my objective is that they have a job right away. So there is that. And I also wanted to say one other thing. I'm starting a new TikTok account, which is something that I've wanted to do for a long time, because I have all these little tidbits of knowledge that I've wanted to, you know, spread out further than the walls of my campus. So please follow me at Professor Broadway. That's what it is. It's at Professor Broadway, because it was available, so I took it.
Absolutely.
So check it out. I just made a fun little promo video on there, and I'll be dropping knowledge starting in the next few days.
That's amazing.
Sorry, Tim. What was your question?
No, actually, my next question was going to be, how can students learn more about your program, and how can they get in touch with you? So TikTok is a great way to start.
Yes.
And then how else can they find out more information about the program or get in touch with you?
Well, they could go onto our website, but also they can get in touch with me just at joshuayoung@missouristate.edu. I'm always happy to get questions, and I think that's another good point. People who are, if you show interest in the schools that you're interested in, there's a greater chance of you or your son or daughter getting admitted. Because I'll tell you, this is why. We make offers, and a lot of them stay out in the ether for months and months and months. And sometimes there's a student who I'm like, I don't think they're going to, I'm not sure that they're really interested in us, even though I'm interested in them. I'm not going to make an offer to them, because I felt their disinterest, and I don't want that to take the spot from somebody else who showed their interest. Right.
Yeah.
So that's a huge thing. If you're interested in a program, let them know you're interested. There's a greater chance that you will get that acceptance letter.
Now back to my wrap-up question. What's something that you're looking forward to on campus this coming school year?
I've mentioned it already, but I didn't say that it was the thing that I'm most looking forward to. So I told you that Kate Kerrigan and Nathan Tyson. Nathan Tyson's a guy. He's got Great Gatsby that he's workshopping right now at. They both do, actually. I think they're both working on Great Gatsby. Yeah, at Paper Mill Playhouse. They're both fantastic. But Kate and I. I don't know if you're. I'm sure your audience has heard some of those. Kate wrote unauthorized autobiography of Samantha Brown and some other things. But Kate and I grew up together since we were in elementary school, and her other collaborator, Brie Loudermilk, and I, the three of us, we were. I was the dentist to her Audrey and Brie Loudermilk's Seymour. And I, whenever I get to work with my friends from my youth, it's really, really fun. Also, Nathan is a good friend of mine. So getting to kind of work with my friends who will also provide opportunities to my students is always something that I love doing. Yeah. And that's something that I'll get to do with the show that we're doing this spring.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, Josh, thank you so much for sitting and chatting with us today and telling us more about the program there at Missouri State. And we look forward to keeping you around and having you back real soon.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and resources we have to offer at The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.